The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
The last day.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
With only a few shopping days left till Christmas, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I gotta get out the door. I'm sorry. I don't have time to do a radio show. This is Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our bunker. And, you know, if you need to get out there and shop, how about dropping a little bit of money in the Salvation Army kettle as you go by? Somebody dropped 55 $100 bills.
Really?
Yep.
You know, there's some places, where is it, Kansas City or St. Louis, where somebody's got a tradition of dropping gold coins. I mean, like, I don't know, Krugerrands or whatever they are, just dropping them into buckets anonymously. No one's figured out who does it.
I don't know.
I'll have to look that up.
But I, you know,
it's one of those little useless bits of information that floats around inside my brain.
Well, and I got to tell you, with this, with the current economy, I'm betting that those guys aren't getting nearly as much.
Right.
And at the very least, say Merry Christmas when you walk by.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're standing out in the snow and the ice and the wind and the, you know, wolves howling at them.
And in some parts of the country, I mean, it's bad enough here in central Indiana with the weather we've had this week. But, you know, consider further north in Minnesota where, you know, the Metrodome collapsed under the weight of the snow. I mean, people who are ringing bells up farther north, it's that's a tough way to serve. But
tough. But, you know, football's about all they have up there.
Yeah.
Football and ice fishing.
That's true.
At Mille Lacs.
The Fargo reference, of course. And my North Dakota relatives, by the way, make a point of saying that North Dakota is where you get the real good fishing.
They would say that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, Minnesota, land of 10,000 potholes, according to North Dakotans.
Here, speaking of things like that, okay, here's an interesting little tidbit. My nephew, by marriage, my mm-hmm. niece's husband, he drives a truck for a living,
mm-hmm.
and he drives up to Canada.
That's a haul.
And he picks up a load and takes it down to Tennessee. And guess what the load is?
Steel.
Pigs.
I mean, pigs. From Canada?
Canadian pigs. Canadian bacon.
Back bacon.
Oh, it's the mystery of back bacon. No, he's taking Canadian pigs down to Tennessee, and they're making sausage out of them.
Oh, okay.
And you thought that Tennessee sausage was made from Tennessee pigs.
Well, you'd think so.
No, they're Canadian.
Yeah, Tennessee pride is,
Tennessee Canadian pride.
I guess.
Canadian pride.
Well, what is going on in the world out there? There's more stuff going on. Another blow, if you will, to the reach and scope of the United States federal government. A judge has ruled. Just as they had a ruling against the health care reform plan earlier this week,
mm-hmm.
A judge has ruled, and I'm going to have to find find the article, which is posted at PIDnews.com, that a court has ruled on Wednesday, in fact, that the Obama administration's contention that the government never needs to get a warrant to find out where your cell phone has been has been struck down by the Third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals.
So the fact that our cell phones are constantly telling satellites where we are,
mm-hmm.
and at any moment they could find us.
They could, but and the fact is that with a warrant, you know, which I suppose if there's probable cause is not that difficult to obtain. The point is that the Obama administration, following in the footsteps of the Bush administration, because as we've said here on this program many times, the Obama administration is the third term of the Bush administration, that they've been getting this information without a warrant, without probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, mm-hmm. We don't need to worry about the Fourth Amendment. It's just a piece of paper, the Constitution.
Hey, look, you can be accused of something and end up in solitary confinement for 8 months.
Yeah, like Bradley Manning.
F.C. Manning. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I wonder, have you ever seen Wag the Dog? I think we've talked about this a number of times on the show. If you have not seen mm-hmm. Wag the Dog, you really need to see that movie. They're really poking fun at a Republican administration mm-hmm. in many ways, but this can be any administration that has to find a way to get headlines out of the news with other headlines, push mm-hmm. A out with B.
Yeah, well, in fact, I always took it as more of a slap at the Clinton administration with his bimbo eruptions. And that was the premise.
Oh, you know what? You are right.
That was the
you
premise
right.
of Wag the Dog. There was I think he was accused of doing something inappropriate with a Girl Scout, if I remember the plot. So they had
you know, you are right. Oh, forgive me.
Yeah.
You are right.
And there
it's
was an
been
election.
A while since I've seen it.
Yeah, there was an election coming up.
And
so,
the
yeah.
old shoe. Mm-hmm. We won't go further than that in case you haven't seen it. But
well worth watching.
The Manning issue reminds me of old shoe.
Right. Bradley Manning.
In an opposite way. He's not a hero.
No,
old
no.
shoe was a hero.
No, but the point of the story is that you can make people believe anything you want as long as they see it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot to be said for that.
We've seen a picture of PFC Manning mm-hmm. in many of the online stories and probably the print newspapers as well. We have seen references to him, heard references to him. Have we seen video of him? No, we have not.
No.
We are told he is in solitary confinement.
He's been held for a couple of months at a military lockup in Kuwait, and then the last 5 or 6 months at Quantico. He's solitary. He's only allowed out for 1 hour a day. Now, bear in mind, he's not yet been charged with anything. He's not been convicted of anything. And yet he's being held in solitary confinement 23 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
He's not allowed to exercise. In fact, he's kept under constant surveillance to prevent him from exercising. You know, and this is the kind of thing that wears on you psychologically after a while. In fact, doctors are now prescribing a regular regimen of antidepressants to keep him from cracking under this treatment. Mm-hmm. He's not allowed a pillow or a sheet or blankets for his bed, even though he's not on a suicide watch. So
the prisoners at Gitmo get better.
Yes, they do.
Treatment than this guy.
Yes, they do. Now, Glenn Greenwald at Salon.com, who is an honest journalist in that he openly professes to be a progressive, but he's been very critical of President Obama and the Obama administration for taking the excesses, the abuses of presidential power of the Bush administration to whole new levels, like the whole targeted assassination thing, you know, the secret assassination list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dick Cheney probably lay awake at nights dreaming of doing something like that. And here Barack Obama is openly, you know, his spokespeople openly tell the Washington Post and New York Times, oh, yeah, we're doing that. You know, it's – and Americans just sort of take like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he nice?
Yeah, well, Awolaki, he's really evil, so he needs killing.
Yeah.
So anyway, Glenn Greenwald has written a story about this, and I'll link to the article from Wednesday of this week about the inhumane treatment of Bradley Manning. He speculates that the reason that Manning is being treated this way, assuming, and this is what Sharon was going with, the wag the dog analogy here, assuming that such a person as Bradley Manning exists. Now, we presume that he does. We've mm-hmm. heard from his attorney, but we don't see any references or outcry from family members, friends, relatives, or whatever.
Exactly.
We've got a picture.
Ordinarily, we would see their
photo.
Family being
right.
interviewed by the press. They would be hounded by the press.
Right.
The lawyer would be in front of the camera constantly.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, we're not going so far as to claim that, hey, Bradley Manning is a fiction, but it is interesting that this guy has been totally isolated from the public. Now, Greenwald's theory is that the Department of Justice wants to get Bradley Manning to turn on Julian Assange because the United States government would love to prosecute Julian Assange for something. But to this point, Julian Assange hasn't done anything that runs afoul of United States law. He hasn't done anything illegal. He has essentially served the same role as, say, the New York Times or Washington Post when they publish an expose
mm-hmm.
using information obtained from anonymous sources.
Right.
In other words, no different than when, say, Woodward and Bernstein got deep throat to talk about Watergate.
Right.
If the Department of Justice, and this is Glenn Greenwald's theory, tries to prosecute Assange for actively soliciting the information from Manning, you know, encouraging Manning to give over the documents, or enticing him in some way, in whatever, mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. some way, taking an active role in procuring those documents, then they can try to prosecute him on the grounds of you know, espionage or something like that. But if they do that, Greenwald says, then they've got to turn around and prosecute Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein and, say, a Dana Priest of the Washington Post who published an expose.
All of this assumes that the release of these documents was a surprise.
Right, right.
And not a controlled leak.
Which we have theorized about, and again, this is speculation, but what if the whole point of this is to criminalize investigative journalism and to criminalize the use of the internet? We need to shut down the internet.
Exactly. And now we have the story saying the UN wants to put together a committee that will figure out ways to control the internet.
Because it's so easy for these terrorists to communicate over the internet through these chat rooms and forums and things. Yeah. Uh-huh.
The day is coming. I really do believe this, when the show that you and I are doing right now simply won't be available because the internet will either be gone or so controlled that only state-sponsored, state-approved programming is on it.
That's right.
I don't think we're going to fall in that category.
No, I suspect you're correct
about
that.
And I praise God for it because, you know, if that day comes, and I suspect it will eventually, then we'll be doing other things.
Yep. Amen to that.
We'll be in the streets crying out.
Smoke signals,
if we can't get it on the internet, we'll do it another way.
Lots of tin cans and really long string.
So everybody, mail us your string.
Yeah. Well, you know, this, again, it sounds theoretical. It sounds like, okay, this couldn't happen here. But do you ever think... You know, here I am, you know, not quite 50 years old, and I don't think until this year I ever imagined we'd live in a nation where the President of the United States claimed the authority to set up secret lists of American citizens who needed to be killed. At least that they admitted, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, at least that they admitted, right.
Speaking of things like that, this is a bit of a left turn, but not an entire left turn, and that is that the country of Nigeria has now dropped bribery charges against Dick Cheney.
They were afraid he was going to bring his shotgun along for his next visit.
Wait for it. In exchange for $250 million.
Did he send back an email to the former finance minister's ex-wife or something?
Oh.
Yeah, Halliburton apparently wants to keep Dick Cheney out of prison. So this was that was the deal, wasn't it? That Nigeria wanted to investigate Halliburton or prosecute Cheney for.
Here's the story at USA Today. Nigeria announced today that in exchange for $250 million, the African nation has dropped bribery charges against Dick Cheney, eight others, and Halliburton, the oil services company he headed before becoming vice president. The case involves an alleged 10-year, $182 million cash for contract scandal. It involved a $182 million cash. Now, why did they settle for $250 million? It looks to me like Nigeria came out ahead.
Well, it's kind of funny.
We have a contract with Halliburton once for, you know, like $497 million? And I don't have any of that.
You know...
I will send emails out to friends, and I will tell them that we are owed that money. And if they only would send us $1,000, we would be able to get it. And we will send them half.
I think we need to look deeper here. What exactly is going on over there that Halliburton needs to keep its hooks into?
Well, that's why I bring it up.
That Nigeria thought that they would be able to get away with this kind of an extortion scheme, because really this is what it is. I mean, anyone who does business over there, and you know, I'm probably overgeneralizing here, but when you're talking about this much money in that part of the world, in many parts of the world, in fact, in most parts of the world, the only way you do business is by greasing the right palms. So somebody wasn't greased, or Halliburton wants something more out of Nigeria. And so Nigeria said, look, you're going to cough up, or we're going to, you know, do this. And they weighed the, you know, did a cost-benefit analysis and figured out, Halliburton did, that it was easier to pay, or that they still come out ahead by paying this off. I don't think for a moment that Nigeria was going to file charges against Dick Cheney for anything.
Oh, no, no.
Again, this is like the United States government trying to criminalize what Julian Assange has done, because by doing, I mean, you go after Dick Cheney for bribery charges, every oil company that's gotten any contract over there is probably going to be suspect. You know, I quoted some, back when I was selling steel pipe, some pretty big projects in parts of the other parts of the world, you know, outside North America, and finally learned that you don't get those kind of jobs. You just don't. When you're you know, a small company, you know, 25 employee company, you don't get jobs like that. Not because you don't have the best price, but because you're not paying the right people. And so, you know, when we get 25 page inquiries worth, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars from Nigeria or Algeria or where, you know, places like that, I very quickly learned that it was not something to get excited about, because the actual contract itself is only a small portion of the actual money that changes hands in those deals. Mm. So, yeah, interesting. What else is going on over there that Halliburton wants to get its hooks into?
I don't know.
Well,
there's a new comic book out. Adventures in Synthetic Biology.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Half the comics out there are Adventures in Synthetic Biology. The X-Men and all the mutant things out there. What do you think the Power Rangers are and the Bionicles and all that stuff?
Oh, gosh, that's a good point. Well, this one actually talks about the basics of synthetic biology and DNA manipulation, and it's at nature.com. I linked at it to it at Instapaper, so you can take a look at it. But there are 12 pages that you can take a look at, and it's kind of nice because you can actually mouse over the balloon, and it will tell you over in a little panel what the text is. So for those who can't see, like myself.
That's kind of handy. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is pretty handy. It's pretty great.
Well, speaking of interesting stories, there's an article, new articles posted at the excellent discernment website, letusreason.org, written by Mike Oppenheimer, and reprinted or cited at Heroscope, which is one of the few blogs that I really make time to read on a daily basis. That's the website of Discernment Ministries. And this relates how a group connected to the New Apostolic Reformation took the concept of spiritual warfare to new heights. Literally, back in 1999, a woman named Anna Mendez Farrell led a team, and apparently she's been very influential on the concept of spiritual warfare as it's taught within the New Apostolic Reformation by the likes of C. Peter Wagner and Chuck Pierce. She led a team to Mount Everest. They literally wanted to climb Mount Everest in order to do battle with the Queen of Heaven. Yeah, now this information's been out there for a while, but apparently is only really becoming more widely disseminated now. And this group literally thought that climbing Everest, and there's a DVD about this that has been put out by Ana Mendez called The Mount Everest Expedition. It was 1997, excuse me, not 1999. They wanted to basically scale the peak, you know, and here you've got these, you know, American church
doing battle with the Queen of Heaven.
Right. To engage and defeat a territorial spirit, because apparently they felt that she was enthroned on Mount Everest.
So is she moving in on their territory?
Well, I guess that's it. I mean, and this is the thing. There's spiritual warfare to them, and we do believe that there are
biblical
evidence for
territorial
spirits.
That's the whole reason for our show. And it
in spiritual warfare,
it manifests as politics sometimes, which is why we talk about politics.
Right,
so
right.
Much.
But they believed that they had to physically be on site in order to assault the Queen of Heaven, instead of, you know, being able to pray from, you know, Rio Linda or wherever they are.
So are we talking Semiramis here?
You know, that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, where do you find in Scripture the Queen of Heaven identified by that name? I mean, you know, I'm a little puzzled by this, and I just thought this was really an odd thing that we need to do a little more digging into. It's a relatively lengthy article that that Mike Oppenheimer has posted at letusreason.org, and they have gone into some depth as to the actual plan. They literally planned a climb.
Semiramis, Jeremiah 7:18.
Okay.
The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven.
Oh, right. Okay.
And
all
to
right.
pour out
Forgive
drink
me.
Offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger.
Yeah, forgive me. I was familiar with the phrase, but for some reason associated it with cultural references instead of actually from Scripture. But anyway, yeah, see, Peter Wagner actually put out a proposal to make the assault on Everest so that they could set up base camps on the mountain and lead teams of English speakers up to 13,000 feet to the Everest View Hotel, and another group farther up the mountain to another camp there, and actually conduct prayer warfare on Mount Everest against the Queen of Heaven. It's I just don't know that we see in Scripture that you need to
climb up to the high places to do battle.
Yeah, I mean, it was one thing for the kings of Judah to knock down the high places, because those were actually places
Elijah
of worship.
Did that.
Well, yeah, but those were actually places of worship. They were knocking down temples that have been established.
Right, whereas the Queen
Baals.
Of Heaven mentioned in Jeremiah, and there are five references in Jeremiah to the Queen of Heaven. The one mentioned there is probably Semiramis, mm-hmm. which is from Babylon, Persia.
Hmm. So why then go
Everest
to
Everest is in
Nepal, I think,
yeah.
isn't it? So yeah, that does seem like it's a little odd. Well, you know, it's really, really tall, I suppose, but that again just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay, well, so one more thing I wanted to mention. It's space.com today, and this is just sort of an aside. Are we almost out of time?
We've got about another 8 minutes.
Oh, hey, well, I'm going to dance now. Okay, that's enough of that.
That was wonderful.
Thank you, honey. The upcoming December 21st full moon, besides distinguishing itself from the others in 2010 by undergoing a total eclipse, will also take place on the same date as the winter solstice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a really interesting little tidbit for 2010.
It, with all the cold weather and snow that we've had here in North America the last few days, it's really a good thing that it isn't winter yet. These fall colors are really beautiful.
Yeah.
White.
Well, the next time white. This will occur
yes.
is December 21st of 2094.
Hmm. Well,
so those people who've had their T-shirts, I saw the eclipse on the solstice. This is when you wear them.
How long has it been since people have been saving those T-shirts since the last one?
Oh, it looks to me like it was 1980, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Prior to this year, there were solstice full moons in 1999 and 1980.
Hey, we've seen a couple of interesting.
So that's three really close together, and then not another one till 2094.
Well, and it's assuming we get past 2012, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of 2012, that in Nepal, that's where the one priest was standing.
Oh, in the book.
In the movie.
In the movie, not the book.
Yeah, honey.
It's the end of a work week, can I say.
It's the week of an Urkel.
Mm-hmm. We've seen some interesting 13s pop up in the news.
They're everywhere. If you do a search for 13, they're constantly there.
Yeah.
It's like they're stretching. Okay, there are 12,400. Let's just say 13.
Yeah, 13 people wounded in Japan. A 27-year-old, 27, that's 3 times 3 times 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wounded 13 people with a knife on a commuter bus in Japan. That reported by CNN earlier today. There was another 13 you mentioned in the news just earlier today.
13 million people are going to be surprised by their tax bill.
You're right.
That's
okay.
What it said at Drudge.
Yeah.
Pamela Anderson is posing for Playboy cover number 13. Just saw that. If you do a search for 13.
Her 13th cover, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Congress approval rating drops to 13%.
Mm-hmm. French court convicts 13 Pinochet-era officials. Nigeria's ruling party holds primaries January 13th.
Nokia takes another bite at Apple, saying that Apple is infringing 13 of their patents. Confirmed flu cases in Wales increases to 13. You just do it. Go to Google News and just type in 13. You'll get so many interesting hits.
It really is. And, well, anyway.
Mizzou is rated number 13.
Well, there it is.
There it is. Also, PID Radio at Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that was the other one.
Number 13.
That's right. I'm not quite sure how this happened, but you click the most popular link at blogtalkradio.com, and you'll find that the number 13 most popular program as of today, December 17th, 2010, is, in fact, the PID Radio Network. So
I think that's a good way to get out of here.
Find it amusing. Well, tonight on View from the Bunker Live, we talked to a couple of fellows about supernatural films and spiritual counterfeits. Rob Skiba, the filmmaker behind Seed, the television series that's in development. We'll talk about how he and his wife Sheila are using film, Hollywood, to witness. So, and he says they've had some really good results. The very first supernatural film night this past Thursday, they had 40 people.
Oh.
And they are discussing, for their first series of films, the Ancient Aliens series from the History Channel.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be Hollywood. Can be other things, but they're getting some people in who may not necessarily who are curious, obviously seeking answers and seeking, you know, have an interest in the paranormal. So this may be a way to open the door to some conversations with people who might not want to raise these questions or might not be encouraged to raise questions like this in a church setting. And then Chris White, host of the Nowhere to Run podcast, will be in the second hour. Recorded an interview with him earlier this week. He's working on he's really developing a whole new genre of film called the debunkumentary.
I like it.
Yeah. He first took on that that YouTube hit called Zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he debunked Zeitgeist. And then he went after Michael Tsarion and got caught. You know, I mean, he's had some struggles with YouTube continuing to pull his stuff for alleged copyright infringement. He debunked the whole 2012 myth. Gave that presentation down in Nashville, and now he's going after David Icke.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we had a really fascinating conversation about that and how David Icke really draws a lot of his stuff, his theology, twisted theology, from Alice Bailey and the Theosophists who preceded her.
Even though he claims he does not.
Even though he claims he does not, right. So, and we even get into the reptilian thing and where that all fits into it. So that's tonight on A View from the Bunker, which is PID Radio, or rather blogtalkradio.com/PID Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Don't miss it.
So until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.